Good morning. It's time for the doctor's point of view. This is Debbie Bosky, and joining me this morning is Dr. Matthew Minahan, oncologist. Good morning, Dr. Minahan.
Good morning, Debbie. How are you doing today?
Well, good. After, you know, some rain this weekend and everything, but we're always glad when it comes to Tuesday morning and we have Dr. Matthew Minahan on our side to tell us a little bit about different things that go on. Cancer is a word that none of us want to hear. And I know that oncologists are there to be our friends, and, you know, they're there to take care of us and help us through the worst possible time in our life. And so we certainly appreciate all that you share with our listeners here today.
Of course. Well, cancer is a scary thing no matter what side of it you're on. And we're just glad that we can be here to help people think through their options.
And we're very excited because we know that we don't have to travel to the bigger cities. We can actually access you right there in Bastrop.
That's right. We're here in Bastrop. We're open 5 days a week, and we have a fully functional oncology clinic with medical oncologists such as myself, who are the kinds of doctors that, you know, should you need chemotherapy, we can do that, and we do it all here. We also have a breast surgeon who comes out here. And we also have, you know, a pipeline to Austin should you need a higher level of care for whatever reason, such as, you know, stem cell transplants or, you know, radiation, those kind of things. All of our partners in Austin do those things. And the nice thing is that we can kind of follow you. If you need a brief targeted intervention, we can still follow you while you're going in there, because we all have office hours in the big city as well, but then we can be out here for the vast majority of the needs.
And we are certainly happy to know that those services are right there where we don't have to go into those who are used to our small area community of being able to go around a city block instead of 5 miles to exit
right.
And turn around. You know, there's a lot to be said for that. But anyway, we still get the information and the education out there for our listeners. And we just have colon cancer is one that seems to be on the rise, and in a good way and in a bad way. You know, there's so much education. There's a lot of us, you know, our family physicians are wonderful about telling us to make sure, I guess it's once you become 50 or older, to get your colonoscopies. And if there's a family history, there's lots of different things. But everybody's like, oh, my God, that sounds so awful.
Yeah. Right. It's not on everybody's bucket list to get a colonoscopy.
And, you know, the PrEP, all there is to do, but it's come a long way. I mean, the PrEP is still not the best, but it's gotten a little better over the years. But
you know, it is what it is. And, you know, you said it, colon cancer is one of the most common cancers. There's an estimate from the American Cancer Society says that this year, 2017, there'll be just shy of 10,000 cases in the state of Texas. It's the second leading cancer killer among men and women combined, and is pretty difficult to detect. A lot of the tumors that happen in hollow organs, think your bladder, your colon, your stomach, things like that, you know, the problem with these tumors is they have a lot of space to grow into. They're growing into an empty cavity, and so tumors aren't going to cause problems until they run into something that causes problems, right? And if you give them a big space to grow, you may not notice it right away. And so, you know, the symptoms that you might have from a colon cancer might not come until it's fairly advanced. And thankfully, you know, there's only five or so cancers we can screen for, and colon cancer is one of them. And as you mentioned, the age of 50 is sort of the kind of blanket recommendation. There, as you said, there are things that figure into that. Usually, you know, if you have a first-degree relative, so I'm talking a parent or a sibling or something like that, you would want to start your screening 10 years earlier than the date of diagnosis for that person. So, for instance, if they were diagnosed at the age of 55, you wouldn't wait till 50 to get screened. You would want to start at 45. And similarly, there are certain medical conditions like inflammatory bowel disease, things like Crohn's and ulcerative colitis, or even familial cancer syndromes that would make somebody get screened much, much younger, even in their teens and 20s. But those are usually, you know, if you have one of those things, and your family physician can guide you towards getting that earlier screening test.
Okay, and so we've done the PrEP, we've gone in for our colonoscopy, you come back, the doctor talks to you, you're awake, I mean, and tell you, well, you had about 5 polyps, we were able to remove them, or they come back and tell you, what is the way to come in and say, well, you had some polyps or you had some suspicious-looking tissue?
Right.
What is the, you know, how do they tell you, well, you have colon cancer?
Well, basically, polyps are unfortunately fairly common, and the difference between, you know, we have all these words that we throw around, tumor, cancer, polyp, what does that all mean? Basically, a tumor is just an abnormal growth. You can have tumors that are benign that don't hurt you, and you can have tumors that can very much hurt you. And the difference is a tumor that's invasive, meaning that it's crawling into where it shouldn't be, it's not respecting boundaries, it's not respecting borders, it's invading. That's what differentiates a benign tumor from a cancerous tumor. And so usually when we're talking about cancer, what we're talking about is an invasive tumor. And you can have all kinds. There's different kinds of colon tumors, not only by the way they look, but by whether or not they're invasive. And there's this kind of algorithm that the gastroenterologists use when they do the colonoscopies based on how big is the tumor, what did it look like, how many tumors were there, and was it invasive. And that kind of tells them how frequently should you be seen. So if you go in and your colonoscopy is clean as a whistle and there's nothing, it's once every 10 years. You know, that's how often we recommend doing it. And then as you start to get things, like if you have one to two small tumors that aren't invasive, it's every 5 to 10 years. If you start to get more than 10 of those tumors, it's less than 3 years. You know, and if they start looking ugly and maybe weren't invasive but are concerning based on the pathology, or the size, you might even need yearly colonoscopies.
Okay, so that's kind of how it is. It's not like you can have one this year and next year, oh my gosh, you got major colon cancer. They're not that aggressive.
Well, usually colon cancer is not that aggressive. You know, when you're looking at colon cancer on the whole, that's why we can go these 10-year intervals for the most part, as I said, adjusting that for what we find at the time of the procedure. But you know, you do this long enough and you always find that outlier, that person who had colon cancer screening done 18 months ago, and then all of a sudden they have metastatic disease that's spread to the liver. And why does that happen? Well, it could be that the tumor that they developed was just a really aggressive one that is an outlier and does not behave the way most colon cancers do. You know, the other thing is we're limited by the tools we have. So the colonoscopy, the colonoscope can only get so far. You know, it can't see the entire GI tract. And so could you have a tumor that was just farther up the tract that they didn't see? Or was it so small when they looked they just didn't notice it? Or maybe the prep that you did wasn't adequate, not because you didn't try, but just because it wasn't, and it wasn't a clean colonoscopy, and so therefore maybe something was hiding that they couldn't see. You know, there's all kinds of reasons why that might happen.
Now, I know your family physician most of the time goes over the signs and symptoms, you know, peculiar things, you know, that are maybe some warning signs that you want to have checked out.
Right.
That are for those. Okay, but once they've got that and you refer to the oncologist, I mean, what happens then?
Right. So, you know, the question is, do you even need an oncologist? And really what we do is there's, you know, maybe one type of polyp where if it was very small and mildly invasive and very tiny and they did the colonoscopy and got it, you don't necessarily need anything more than that. You're okay to just be observed and probably have a repeat colonoscopy in a year or so.
Well, that's great. I mean, not that we wouldn't like to come see you.
No, I hear you. but in reality, most invasive polyps require further attention, and usually your next stop is not an oncologist, but to a surgeon.
Okay.
Whether you see a colorectal surgeon or a surgical oncologist or even a general surgeon, I mean, this is not for the most part, these procedures are pretty straightforward, and almost any general surgeon should be able to do it. And we have several general surgeons here in Bastrop that do this all the time and do just as good a job. So, but your next stop would be a surgeon. And what they would do is they're going to remove the part of the bowel that was involved with the tumor. And then they also have to remove, you know, kind of a buffer, a halo of normal tissue around the tumor to make sure they got everything. And then they're also going to remove a bunch of lymph nodes in the area that the tumor was situated, because that's usually the next place it'll spread. And that helps us with something we call staging that you and I have talked about before, which tells us, you know, is this cancer something we caught very early? Is it kind of in the middle, or is it pretty advanced? And so once the surgeon does the procedure, the pathologist will read out a report that says, you know, here's how advanced it was. And what we're looking at is kind of three things. One, how far did the tumor crawl through the bowel wall? We don't care how big the tumor is, really. We care, did it get through the bowel part of the way, most of the way, all of the way? Was it starting to crawl into things outside the bowel, like connective tissue or even other organs, like bone or bladder or whatever, depending on where it is? The second thing is, are lymph nodes involved? And then the third thing is, you know, God forbid, has it spread to other parts of the body, like the liver, the lungs, things like that.
Okay, and so at what point do you decide whether, do you need chemo and radiation, or is it just chemo?
So, and we've been talking about colon cancer, but a lot of times we'll lump rectal cancer in with colon cancer and just call it colorectal cancer. They all start from the same cells. They start from the cells that line the bowel, the inside of the bowel. And they behave very similarly. We treat them very similarly, but there is a little bit of a difference. So I'll stick with colon cancer for now because that's the simpler version of things. And for most colon cancers, what you're doing is surgery is the most important thing. And the question of when to add chemotherapy really comes down to a couple of issues. If you have lymph nodes involved, the risk of the cancer coming back is usually higher than the risk of chemotherapy causing problems. And so at that point, we usually do recommend chemotherapy for 6 months. There's a couple of different options, and that's something I would say for somebody who actually has to go through it, because it's a lot of nitty-gritty details. But the idea is that the chemotherapy is sort of an insurance policy. A lot of people come in and they'll say, well, the surgeon got everything, so why do I need more treatment? And the answer is because we know that if we took 100 people just like you and didn't do anything but surgery, you know, probably more than half of them would end up having the cancer come back. And if we do chemotherapy, we can drastically reduce that number. And that's for the lymph node, the people who have lymph node involvement. Where there's a little more of a gray area is if you don't have lymph node involvement, but you do have some high-risk features of the tumor that was confined to the bowel. So, you know, did it crawl pretty far through? Was it locally right there invading lymph vessels or, blood vessels? And then there's actually some molecular testing that we can do where we're looking for, basically the idea is that all cancer comes from problems with DNA and molecules in the cells, right? And when our cells divide, they have to make copies of the blueprints, the DNA in the cells, and they don't always make perfect copies. And so we have a set of genes, a set of proteins, that then go behind and proofread those copies and fix the mistakes, right? And in some folks, these proteins don't work well, and they don't fix the mistakes as well, and that can lead to cancer. And so we can test for that, and in certain situations, the results of that testing can tell me if you're more high risk and need some chemotherapy, or if you're actually going to do pretty well and can avoid some chemotherapy. So a bottom line, what I would say is, you know, if you have lymph nodes involved, you probably want to think about chemo. If you don't have lymph nodes involved, it's a little bit more of a gray zone, and we start looking into some more of the very specific features of your specific pathology report. And then, of course, we have to interpret that in the setting of the patient sitting in front of us. You know, are you a young, fit person with no medical problems, or are you, you know, a 104-year-old person with horrible lung disease who's, you know, not going to do well with more treatment? So those are the kind of things that we think through when we're seeing people with a new diagnosis.
All right. Well, Dr. Meenahan, I know we could go on and on and on, and so we certainly appreciate all your input here. Give us your office phone number there in Bastrop.
Yeah, of course. So our office here at Texas Oncology in Bastrop is 512-308-9024. That'll get you to the front desk. And we can get you plugged in. We do self-referrals if you need that. Otherwise, most people like to come from their, you know, their primary care doc or their surgeon or whoever wants to refer them over. But we can't do walk-ins because we need a little time to get stuff together. But that's where you'd reach us, 512-308-9024. Again, we're open 5 days a week here, and we do all kinds of cancer care, any kind of cancer.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me here this morning, and we'll be talking to you real soon.
Great. Looking forward to it.
Thank you so much. And I'd like to thank my sponsors for allowing the Doctor's Point of View on your hometown radio, 98.3.